Now I'll introduce Joe Grindstaff, Executive Director of the Delta Stewardship Council.
Thanks, Randy. And I just have some simple slides here, and hopefully it will go right there. It worked perfectly. You've already met Randy. I want to introduce any other members that are present, but there aren't any others. We had one other member that was planning to be here but had an illness in the family, Gloria Gray, so she could not be here. I'm Joe Grindstaff. Keith, where are you? So anybody who wants to know, Keith is Chief Deputy Executive Officer. Terry McCauley, where? There she is. Stand up, Terry, so people can know who you are. Eric Alvarez. Gwen Buchholz, who is the principal consultant that's helping us develop this EIR. The main objectives today are, as stated, to help you understand the mandate for the Delta Plan and to receive input. As part of the CEQA process, we develop a scoping document, and we ask people, and it's fairly significant, and we had copies out front here, and we wanted to ask you and people in other parts of the state to make comments on the scope and possible solutions to the problems that we're going to be addressing in that. So that's the main purpose of the meeting tonight. And at the conclusion, after we've completed scoping, then as Vice Chair Fiorini said, we will give people the opportunity to make other comments on issues that may pertain to the council. So we have the EIR and the public comment process, and then the non-EIR related comments. State adopted in late 2009 legislation that created the Delta Stewardship Council, and our principal objective is to achieve or further the achievement of the co-equal goals, which means the two goals of providing a more reliable supply for California, water supply for California, and protecting and restoring and enhancing the Delta ecosystem, and to do that in a way that protects and enhances the unique values of the Delta as an evolving place. So probably everyone here understands the Delta is failing to meet the objectives that most of us have for it. The legislature laid out a series of objectives. They're pretty darn detailed in some areas about water supply and about ecosystem. They're very significant legislation, and we have copies of that also out there for anyone that would like to have that. We have identified in our scoping document a planning area and a study period. The planning area has as its focus the Delta, but then also includes the watershed and the air export areas where water from the Delta goes. As you might imagine, that's a significant part of the state. We looked at the numbers the other day. It's 96% of the state's population. So it's very significant, and that concerns some people, but we think that's what the legislation calls for. In terms of the study period, the legislation talks about meeting some objectives on a time scale of 2100. And so we have chosen a proposed time scale of 2100 for the plan. So it goes for 90 years from now until 2100. That's also a significant decision. We'll probably propose interim steps along the way, but it's very significant that we have a planning period that's that long. We have identified in the scoping document Delta plan strategies that might be used. One of the things we're interested in hearing from you about is if there are strategies that should be included that were not included in the scoping document. So we have these objectives defined by law, and we've identified some of the strategies that we might utilize to achieve those objectives. We're very interested in hearing from you about what other things we ought to be studying as we move ahead with the process. I want to talk some about BDCP. The legislation calls for the council to incorporate BDCP, the Bay Delta Conservation Plan, into the Delta Plan if BDCP meets certain specified legal requirements. BDCP is on a schedule that probably means they won't come back to the council having met those requirements until, I think realistically, 2013. Today I was briefed and told that they won't have a draft final plan until probably this coming fall. So given the time that it will take to complete an EIR and an EIS and go through all of the approval processes, I think it's likely that that plan won't come before the council until 2013. At that point, the director of the Department of Fish and Game makes a determination about whether BDCP meets the standards required in law and should be incorporated into the Delta Plan, and people can appeal that decision to the council. So we have to be cognizant of that in our planning effort and understand that that may very well happen. And we also have to be cognizant of the fact that it may not happen. So that's an interesting, delicate balance. The schedule for scoping meetings is up there. This is the first. It's pretty intense for the next 2 weeks. I want to talk some about the timeline. We have a very fast timeline. It was dictated in law. We are, under the statute, required to have the Delta Plan complete and to begin implementation by January 1st, 2012. This plan, therefore, has to go through the EIR process. We have to have multiple revisions. We have to get something final in November, because the plan then, in order to become an enforceable plan as required under the statute, actually has to go to the Office of Administrative Law, and it becomes regulation when it's complete. So it's an enforceable plan. So we're expecting a draft of the very first public draft of the plan to come out sometime in mid-February. The council will begin meeting 4 days a month at the end of February and through March and April and May. The plan is to go through four drafts during that time period, talking about each of the major sections in depth. That leads up to a decision at the end of May to publish a formal public draft Delta Plan and public draft EIR in June. So we anticipate the public draft, the official public draft, coming after, as I say, four preliminary drafts in June. Then we will have a comment period, come back sometime in August, and begin once again having all of the comments that come in during that public review period with another updated draft based on what we had before and what the comments were. And we'll probably have another two or three iterations of the plan before the council adopts it in November. So I would expect that means seven or so different versions, different drafts of the plan. So there will be a lot of time for people to comment during the process. It will be very public. I expect the council will be inundated by people on some issues, but we will meet the deadline. It's the one thing the council's been very clear with me about. We will meet the deadline. We will comply with the law. We will have a Delta Plan complete by January 1st, 2012, ready for implementation. So tonight we'll have oral comment. I want to mention that we do have a court reporter here. We are recording this. The recording of the meeting will go up on our website, and we will have a transcript of this scoping meeting along with all of our scoping meetings. So everyone should be aware of that when you speak. We also will be taking written comments. So we have, I think we have a prepared place besides this email. You can write down your comments and hand them to us here at the meeting or mail them to us to Terry McCauley. So we'll be glad to take comments that way too. With that, I guess I should go back because we're now ready for the public comment period. And I guess I'll ask, we have these blue comment cards, and if anybody else would like to speak, if you would please fill out a blue comment card, we'd be glad to have you come up here. Randall Newdeck, you're first up. Randall, would you like somebody else to speak first?
I left my written comments back home. Thank you for inviting us down here today, Vice Chairman Fiorini. My name is Randall Newdeck. I'm a project manager at the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. On behalf of Metropolitan, I wish to thank you for holding the scoping session down here in Diamond Bar and to provide the residents of Southern California an opportunity to learn more about the historic planning process in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Bay Delta, and to learn more how they can contribute to the success of this process. Metropolitan, as you know, supported the 2009 Comprehensive Water Package that led to the creation of the Stewardship Council and the important process of crafting a Bay Delta plan. Metropolitan supports the co-equal goals of ecosystem restoration and water supply reliability that were advanced as new state policy in the 2009 legislation. The district will provide our written comments during your scoping process. I'd like to, at this time, just provide a brief perspective, Metropolitan's perspective, on two key elements toward a successful Bay Delta plan. One is the Bay Delta Conservation Plan. The other is the policy of reducing reliance on the Delta to meet future water supply needs through increased regional and local efforts by all who depend on the watershed through conservation, recycling, and other emerging water management tools. The Bay Delta Conservation Plan is at a crucial stage in its development process. The recent conservation plan updates by the federal and state governments reflect broad agreement on several key elements of the plan. The Obama administration update, in particular, recognizes the importance of the co-equal goals and how the Bay Delta Conservation Plan intends to embody these goals. There is recognition that a new water conveyance system in the Delta is necessary to separate the movement of water supplies from fishery habitat during critical times of the year in a recovering estuary. And there is recognition that improved water supply reliability can be achieved through water conveyance improvements and habitat restoration and an improved response to other stressors. The Bay Delta Conservation Plan represents the most important and complex habitat planning, conservation planning effort undertaken in the West Coast and arguably in the United States. Metropolitan is confident that remaining issues related to conveyance, supply reliability, finance, and governance can be resolved in the coming weeks and months. Metropolitan realizes that our imported water supply from the Delta and Colorado River cannot be expected to meet all future needs in our service area, which now has approximately 19 million residents and is growing at about 200,000 residents a year. Our future needs are going to be greater than today, as are those of other urban areas in the state that rely on the Bay Delta watershed. This is why last October, Metropolitan's Board of Directors approved a new 30-year water plan for Southern California known as the Integrated Resource Plan. This Integrated Resource Plan relies strictly on local conservation and local water supply development, not increased imported supplies, to meet new demands on metropolitan and local water districts. This integrated plan assumes full achievement of the goals in the 2009 legislation to reduce per capita water use by 20% by the year 2020. For metropolitan, various efforts to lower demand will add up to a larger savings of water than any single source of supply, including the Delta. The Delta remained, though, a vital baseline supply because of its high quality and ability to replenish reserves in capturing surplus flows in wetter years. The Bay Delta Conservation Plan's success is essential for the Delta to provide these baseline needs in the decades ahead. Metropolitan would be pleased to participate in any review of long-term water planning efforts by other communities throughout the state that also rely on the Delta watershed, and we encourage such efforts as the Delta Stewardship Council develops and considers its Delta plan. Again, Mr. Fiorini, thank you for this hearing today down in Southern California. We look forward to participating in the coming months.
Thank you very much. Al Lopez. Yours are not on scoping? Is that what you said? On number four, then we'll hold those till later. Okay, thank you. Rob Whitaker.
Thank you very much, and thank you also, Mr. Fiorini. My name is Rob Whitaker, and I'm the General Manager for the Water Replenishment District of Southern California. And I first wanted to thank the council for its critically important work on these mutually dependent goals of balancing both the ecosystem restoration for the Delta and also the very important water supply reliability goal for the state itself. And I also want to say that many water agencies in Southern California, including the Water Replenishment District, believe that local water supply development in Southern California is a key component to developing a statewide solution. It's an essential part of a Delta solution as well. We're a groundwater management agency. We serve more than 10% of the state's population in 43 cities in about a 430 square mile area in the urban core of LA County. 40% of the total water in our area is made up of groundwater, and our main job is to replenish that supply. We also purchase or produce water to inject into a 28-mile-long seawater barrier system owned and operated by the County Department of Public Works to prevent saltwater intrusion in the coastal area of our basins. In our five-decade history, WRD, in collaboration with other agencies, has implemented numerous projects to very substantially reduce our region's reliance on imported water. We've done that through the increased use of recycled water, desalted groundwater, and stormwater capture, all locally developed resources that are more reliable and in some cases less costly than our imported water sources. And I'll give you just a few short examples. In the water year 1961-1962, WRD was the single largest user of imported water in Southern California. We were MET's largest customer at that time. Metropolitan Water District. We used over 212,000 acre feet for replenishment and injection. This year, I anticipate that WRD's imported water purchases for both purposes, groundwater replenishment and injection, will be just over 31,000 acre feet. Through our Water Independence Now, or WIN program, our goal is to reduce our imported water purchases for replenishment and barrier injection to zero within 5 years. Also in 1962, WRD and the sand districts of Los Angeles County pioneered the first deliberate use of recycled water for groundwater replenishment anywhere in the country. Currently, we're using 50,000 acre-feet of recycled water annually for that purpose. At the three barrier systems along the coastal area of our basins, we have been able to develop projects that have reduced the imported water supply by more than 50%, and those projects have been in conjunction with the West Basin Municipal Water District, the City of Los Angeles, and also projects that we've built for ourselves. Your Water Resources White Paper referenced the Groundwater Reliability Improvement Program, or GRIP, as we call it. This is the final piece of WRD's WIND program. It's a joint project between the Water Replenishment District, the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, and the LA County Sanitation Districts to provide 21,000 acre-feet of highly treated and high-quality recycled water to both the main San Gabriel Basin area and the Central Groundwater Basin. These examples, and there are many others, simply illustrate that we are well on our way to self-sufficient groundwater basins in our portion of the LA coastal plain. We look forward to the day when imported water in times of surplus will be used for groundwater storage for extraction in times of drought, but that we won't have to rely on it on an annual basis for replenishment. With respect to the task before you, I have one recommendation. My recommendation is that the water resources portion of the EIR for the Delta Plan include an inventory of all existing and planned local development projects in Southern California. We believe that these local projects, as I mentioned, are a necessary part of any future water reliability calculus for the state, and we think such an inventory will provide very significant results in terms of those projects that are planned for the future. I'll be pleased to answer any questions and provide my comments in writing. Thank you.
Richard Atwater.
Again, thank you for the opportunity to speak. For the record, I'll give you my statement after I get done so you can look at it. My name is Richard Atwater, and I'm the executive director of the Southern California Water Committee, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization formed in 1984, representing counties from Kern County to the Mexican border, over 20 million people. And we've been working on issues in the State Water Project in the Delta since 1984. Our organization fully is committed to working collaboratively with all organizations, agencies, and individuals throughout the state to develop and implement a plan to restore the Delta ecosystem and the water supply reliability, the co-equal goals that Joe talked about. The success of the Delta Plan is critical to achieving both of these goals, and we're sympathetic, as Joe outlined. I'll paraphrase, you have a very ambitious schedule. We obviously want to support you completing that on time, but it's a great challenge, and obviously all of us have our work cut out for us. As you continue to work on your plan, we do have a few comments that we'd like you to incorporate in the scoping document and address both in the Delta Plan and the environmental document. First, we would suggest there needs to be a more clearly defined scope for the Delta Plan. The notice of preparation is very broad, and if the plan of the Delta is not more targeted in its approach with specific recommendations, it would ultimately jeopardize the ability to successfully implement the plan. The Delta Plan should try to focus on the Delta region and follow the clear directions provided in the legislation. Our second point is we would suggest you need more explicit explanation of the programmatic nature of the Delta Plan and how it's tiered and coordinated with the other plans for the Delta. We realize it's a very complicated understanding, and as Joe pointed out, the relationship between the Delta Plan and the BDCP, or the Bay Delta Conservation Plan. The BDCP also will help achieve the co-equal goals of water supply reliability and a healthy Delta ecosystem. And though it will not be completed for another year or two, it'll come in after the Delta Plan, and so that relationship and the integration of the two will be an important aspect of the project implementation. Third, the Delta Plan should not attempt to address or resolve general water management issues statewide. That is more appropriate at other agencies and policy forums. Addressing general water management issues is the responsibility also of local agencies under state law. And then lastly, one final comment is the Delta Plan should not, as it's suggested in the scoping document, just focus on the State Water Project and the Central Valley Project in regards to Delta water use. Language in the draft document suggests that's the focus, and as the new Delta Water Master, Craig Wilson, pointed out just recently in the newspaper, we do have Article 13, the waste and unreasonable use, and we need to apply that to all beneficial uses up and down the state to make sure that water is used as efficiently as possible, as the previous two speakers pointed out, both from MWD and WRD. Again, on behalf of the Southern California Water Committee, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak here tonight and really support your efforts over the next year. It's an ambitious schedule, and good luck with it.
Terry Sprague. Terry, are you going to talk about the Delta Plan, or is it general comments? General comments. So we'll wait. And,
I should wait. Yeah.
Okay. Then Paula Daniels.
Good evening. My name is Paula Daniels. I'm a commissioner with the Board of Public Works for the City of LA, and I'm also a member of a group that we informally call the Women of Water. So it's a number of women who are part of various water agencies, water districts, and nonprofit organizations, and we all deal with water issues and have been thinking about this, these very issues that are raised by the Delta Stewardship Council and vision for quite some time. So I want to speak here partly to share those ideas, but also to let you know that the various members of the Women of Water, because they're with different agencies or districts, can't necessarily speak on behalf of those entities, but collectively this is a shared vision. I do also teach a class at UCLA on water management and the environment, and I just want to mention that at that class I spoke of the California Bay Delta Authority as a case study, and I want to just say hello to Joe Grindstaff, who is, I think, fondly from those times. I was a member of the Bay Delta Authority. But part of what I taught in that class was the work of the Delta Vision Task Force, and I was able to end with the happy note that there's some very good work happening through the Delta Vision Task Force report and the Stewardship Council, and in particular the statement of the co-equal goals of water supply reliability and ecosystem health, which I said to this group of young and very eager students was very important to state. So the WOW members, as well as the City of LA, are in general agreement with those principles, which are to increase water supply reliability by actually reducing the need to import water. And through those infrastructure changes, I will talk about them next, what they were doing in the City of LA. But as a public works commissioner, I oversee the Bureau of Sanitation. That handles all the sewer water and storm water, which we used to call wastewater, but really we don't think of it as that way anymore. I really think it's only wastewater if it's wasted, and we don't plan to do that anymore, because in trying to recapture and reuse that water, hopefully we'll be able to create a more locally independent water supply. So the City of LA is committed to the following measures. Increase water conservation, particularly outdoor irrigation. And I will say in the City of Los Angeles in the last 25 years, we've increased our population by 1 million, but our water use has remained the same. That's largely because of indoor conservation measures through low-flow appliances. A lot of that work was started through the great work of Martha Davis when she was at the Mono Lake Committee, which is very important. And now we're looking at outdoor water conservation with some very worthwhile measures on smart irrigation and so forth. We also have a plan to increase recycled water use, increase stormwater capture and reuse, both as a conservation measure, which would include rainwater harvesting, that means rain barrels, and groundwater recharge, and also groundwater storage and cleanup with wellhead treatment. So in May of 2008, our mayor and the then general manager of the Department of Water and Power, David Nahai, released a water plan to meet all new demand for water, which was estimated at 100,000 acre feet, via conservation and recycling by 2030, to meet that demand by 2030. So in mentioning that, I want to mention that along those lines, any water plan should really take a long-term view, because these institutional and infrastructure investments are significant and need to be thought through for a long period of time. It's a lot of asphalt that needs to be changed, a lot of plumbing and pipes that need to be put into place, a lot of plants that need to be built. So a long-term plan, as well as a companion investment strategy for funding for that through whatever means can be addressed, bonds and so forth, will be important. We also just in the city of Los Angeles adopted a low-impact development ordinance, which directs that new and redevelopment capture, retain, and reuse all the runoff from an 85th percentile storm. So LA County has also done this. The city of Long Beach has done this, and Santa Monica has been doing this work for quite some time. So there are a number of nested initiatives in the city of LA that we're doing along these lines, but the point is that we are really committed to stormwater capture and reuse, which we think will make a big difference. What's needed there is investment in that infrastructure work, because it's a lot of miles of streets, many of which I just drove to get here, that need to be changed in retrofitting. So this ordinance that we just passed had to do with new and redevelopment. There's a lot of miles of pavement here that can be reworked in order to maximize groundwater recharge, and I think that would be a really important strategy. So we applaud your efforts, and thank you for this good work. The Women of Water will have some more specific comments and recommendations in a letter to you by your deadline. Thank you for this hearing.
That's all of the blue cards I have. Is there anybody else that would like to speak specifically about the scoping for the scoping process or the scoping hearing? Not seeing any hands or any indication from anybody else, I guess we'll close that. And as was expressed earlier, we do have a couple of people who would like to speak on general topics. And Al Lopez, you're first up there.
Good evening. My name is Al Lopez. I am a board member at Western Municipal Water District. And we would also like to thank you for hosting this meeting here to provide an opportunity for all of us to come and participate in the activities that are being undertaken by this council to develop the comprehensive package. In that respect, of the board member, I'm also the co-chair for the Inland Counties for the California Latino Water Coalition. As for those of you that may not know, the coalition was formed back at the very beginning during the crisis, the water crisis that developed in the Northern California, and subsequent to that, of course, you know, throughout the state, our organization was very active in the development of the comprehensive package that resulted in the bond being placed and on the ballot and therefore removed. So in behalf of the coalition, we want to thank you. We look forward to participating in as many opportunities that you may give us to provide some input. I did not come prepared to submit anything in behalf of the coalition, but however, we do plan on submitting our thoughts and concerns to you and whenever they occur. But again, thank you for this opportunity. I also wanted to provide you with a couple of press releases that were formulated with the cooperation of the California Latino Water Coalition that you may have seen them before. If not, I certainly want to present them to you so that you can take a look at them and consider those in your deliberations. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And Terry.
My name is Terry Sprague. I'm with my own group, Sprague and Associates. What I'd like to address really is listed basically in your water delta legislation on page 36, item 85305, that states, the Delta Plan shall attempt to reduce risks by promoting effective emergency preparedness. We have a process by which we think we can move water through the delta if the levees collapse. How much water, we don't know. We have developed a fabric pipeline that possibly could move water through the Delta. There are several water agencies in Southern California that are looking at this project at this time. I know I'm really here to ask advice. Gwen Buchholz was kind enough to give me a little bit of advice, and I understand that in order to get this technology included in the alternatives for emergency purposes, I must ask the board or the members of the council. Is that correct? Is that how the process works?
Ultimately, the board does make the decisions, yes.
And you would direct the staff or CH2M Hill or whoever else to look at that. At this time, that directive has not been given. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. We have received the letter.
Good. I mean, thank you very much. One of the emails that I know that, Joe, you were sent by Ray Seed at UC Berkeley on October 4th, I think is part of the process. Is that correct? I mean, what his recommendations were?
Yes.
I have that document in front of me talking about the potential represented by using a type of fabric technology to construct a modular fabric pipeline through the Delta. Ray Seed, for those of you who don't know, is probably one of the most well-known levee experts. Would I make that statement? He oversaw the Katrina repairs by Corps of Engineers down in New Orleans. And all we're asking for is a test of this technology. To summarize his position on this, the fabric pipeline may be a potential feasible emergency measure to partially mitigate the current potential for a seismically induced water disaster. Advantages might include relatively low cost, the apparent environmentally benign nature of the system, the rapidity with which the system could be deployed, the modular nature of the system, and the fact that the system itself would be a rapidly repairable so that it could be maintained in a resilient manner. I hope this, which I guess, as Joe has said, this October 4th email from Ray to Joe is entered into the record. To just bring you up to date, we have recently been contacted a couple months ago, actually, by a group in Australia to develop an undersea fabric pipeline to take water from Tasmania to the mainland. We've developed a system. Some of the people or the agencies that are working with us have copies of this. I'm showing the document here basically because of the fact that we think we can move water several hundred miles under the ocean, which would be a very easy task to do, to move water 40 miles north of the Delta down into Clifton Court using the same technology. What we're trying to do is develop support, not financing, for this. I'm not looking to the council for financing on this basis. I know you don't have a budget for this anyway. But to get the moral support and to have it really be given a serious look. I'll have more information probably in the next month or so after some people have done further analysis on this. And I hope that will be looked upon as something that would be included as one of your emergency alternatives and something that should be looked at so we could get the moral support of the committee. Do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. As I understand it, agencies are, in fact, evaluating this.
Thank you very much. One last thing. People sort of wondered what the technology is all sort of based around, the world's strongest zipper. Without this connects the pipeline together very rapidly, very quickly. It's stronger than, take it over 1,000 pounds an inch in strength. MIT ran 3 years of testing on this to develop it. And this is the key to the whole system. This was designed to haul water bags to the ocean, but it would also be able to be used to connect fabric pipelines to the ocean. So you've seen me play with my zipper, and have a nice day.
Thank you very much. Are there any other public comments?
Well, it looks like we've accomplished what we've come for. Thank you very much for your attendance tonight, for your input, and we look forward to working with you throughout this next year as we develop the Delta Plan. Good evening.